Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
She and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
You know, now that I look at it, who designed this studio? We're both on microphones that are labeled microphone one.
I told you that.
I mean,
that's what I said. You're like, what number microphone? I said, they're all number one.
We're number one.
Number one, you heard.
That one says two. The last one says two.
Oh.
The one that you were on that goes limp all the time has no number on it.
I don't know.
Although, maybe is that white one, or is that just a paper that's torn off there? I can't tell.
I have no idea.
So, anyway, welcome back.
You feel comfortable with me over here now?
I like it.
We adjusted.
Now that your father away.
He won't say it. He won't say what's bothering him. Listen, I didn't put on...
Nothing,
you know, the deodorizer or whatever this morning.
No. You know what it is? When you're sitting there, I'm looking through, like, microphones, mic stands and stuff. It's like you can't even, like, see.
So you want to see the whole – want the whole experience, huh?
Yeah. No, this way. Because I like looking down at my laptop and then just looking up. You know, it's just easy. I don't have to turn my head. That's all.
He's a point guard, Nick. He's got that court vision.
Just tell me I'm beautiful. It's fine.
No, you're definitely not. You know, going back to just kind of recapping the Friars, too, I know Ed's talked about fatigue. We were fatigued after the game. Butler had a week's, you know, worth of rest, so they had fresher legs.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that's making an excuse. I'm sure there's maybe a little something to that, but you lost to a better team last night, a team that outplayed
you. And he
you,
knows that.
Right?
He knows that. You know, and I think they all know that. You know, the timing, I think it was more that... You know, Coach Cooley was disappointed that he felt like because the fact that they got off a plane a couple days ago, they didn't have as much time to prepare as Butler did for it. He didn't feel like his team put out its best effort because of that on the floor. He didn't feel like he got their best shot at home against the sixth-ranked team in the country. Like, he wanted his guys up. He wanted it he wanted the playing field to be even in that. It happens. Timing plays a lot into this schedule and these, you know, and all these sorts of things. So, you know, they're going to have a lot of rest for St. John's. So that you got to come back and you got to come back with a vengeance. So, I think he just wanted his team to give it its best shot. And when you start 0-13 from the field, it's not your best shot. So.
All right. We're going to talk obviously more about Tom Brady's future in just a moment. But yesterday, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels was out in Cleveland interviewing with Cleveland Browns brass. Mm-hmm. He was the last of eight different candidates to interview for the vacant head coaching job of the Browns. He went out with his wife. He spent about 7 hours interviewing with the Browns, but they didn't keep him out there. He flew back home to Boston by all reports last night. The Browns supposedly want to make a decision by this weekend. Earlier in the week, I had read somewhere where they wanted to have a coach by Saturday, today. You would think if McDaniels were the guy and they were going to make an announcement today that they would have just kept him out in Cleveland.
Sure.
I don't want to read too much into that by saying, oh, he flew home to Boston. Maybe he's not getting the job, but obviously it's not a slam dunk. I'm not sure who they're going to hire, but this is the last head coaching vacancy available.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a very good chance that Josh McDaniels will be back here again next year.
That bodes well for if there is a chance that Tom Brady stays. I think that bodes well for it. If McDaniels is here, that's less change. That's less turnover. I think it's just interesting the way that the head coaching carousel has played out, and the fact that, you know, we talk every year about Josh McDaniels being a candidate for a job here, a candidate for a job there. It's like the Josh McDaniels time of the year, whatever. And then it's Joe Judge that gets hired by the New York Giants. That to me was like, wow.
That's the one that I think left a lot of people scratching their heads. Where did that come from? Everybody thought Joe Judge was going to be at Mississippi State and be the head coach of the Bulldogs.
Make him Mike Leach.
I know. That's a much better hire.
It's great.
Love it.
And with Lane Kiffin down there, too.
Mike
like,
Leach
oh,
in the
man.
ACC. I mean, the SEC. I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
Awesome. No, but and people are like sort of scratching their heads about Joe Judge, but at the same time, you know, he's been the special teams coordinator for a few years here, and I know it's not in, you know, your sexy offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Oh, he runs this offense, oh, he runs this defense, that sort of thing. But you know, I think of a guy like John Harbaugh who got a head coaching gig after being a special teams guy, and look at how successful he's been. You know, Harbaugh's had a great run with the Ravens here. So
many people, though, I think so many franchises are enamored with or want to try to duplicate the secret sauce of the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of assistants have left here and have not performed well, but there are some that have. And I think most recently you look at Mike Vrabel and the Titans, who came back here and beat the Patriots last week in the wild card round of the playoffs. I think a lot of people have a great deal of respect for the job that Brian Flores did in year number one down in Miami. You know, Billy O'Brien's done okay in Houston, right? And maybe hasn't gotten them deep into the playoffs, but he's done a nice job. Yep. I mean, many of the years he was coaching the Texans, he didn't have a quarterback before Watson came on the scene. But then there's others that haven't. You know, Matt Patricia has not fared well so far through two seasons in Detroit. There's other guys that have left here that have just failed miserably. You know,
McDaniels.
You know, McDaniels. Charlie Weiss, you know, years ago. You know, you can look at a Romeo Crennel. I mean, some guys have not done well. But I understand why people are enamored with the idea of bringing somebody in from the Patriot organization, because there is no pro sports franchise, NFL franchise, that has just been so consistently good for so long than the Patriots.
It'll be interesting to see how Joe Judge does here.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it's sort of a lose-lose situation. Like, if they were to hire, you know, a retread or somebody that's like a quote unquote big name or something, New York would be saying, oh, they're just hiring somebody, you know, they're just it's like lose-lose. You're going to get criticism either way, because I think New York's been down there like, who the heck is Joe Judge? Like, why didn't they hire McDaniels? But if they hired McDaniels, they would have been like, well, why are we hiring this guy? He was so, you know, wasn't great with the Broncos, that sort of thing.
Like, I think this is a bigger risk for them than bringing in like a Mike McCarthy, don't you? I mean, McCarthy's a proven head coach.
Yeah, I think it's a risk. It is, because you just don't know what the guy is or what he's done with head coaching. He doesn't have any head coaching experience at this level, obviously. He's not that big name.
And supposedly they wanted Matt Rhule first and foremost, but Rhule obviously got the unbelievable offer from the Carolina Panthers.
Unbelievable.
I cannot believe the contract they gave him. And how about Rhule? He wanted to coach the Giants over Carolina, to the point where when Carolina made him the offer, he supposedly picked up the phone, called the Giants and said, hey, I just want you to know this is what they're offering me. If you want to match it, I would rather be the head coach of the Giants. And the Giants said, thanks, but no thanks. We're not going to that extent.
It's funny. I think a lot of people have said, what if you flip-flopped Rhule and Judge? How would you feel about the hires? I don't know. I might feel better. I might feel better if it was Rhule in New York. But even then, I think both of them are risks, especially Rhule with that kind of contract and coming from the college game. Like, that is, whoo, boy. You know, so we'll see. You know, I think Judge has come off well. Bill Belichick obviously gave him a glowing recommendation. He's got a lot to work with there. I think it'll be about a guy like that. You got to hire good assistants. You know, and there was some talk about coordinators and whatnot. He might try to poach Bielema from here for his defense.
Yep.
There was talk of the Giants contacted the Cowboys about maybe Jason Garrett coming in as their offensive coordinator.
Correct.
Which is interesting.
And Mike McCarthy trying to get Bones Fossil to run his special teams down in Dallas, the Rams special teams coach. And he's got a good reputation as being one of the better special teams guys in the league.
Yeah. I think McCarthy in Dallas is, that's interesting. You know, you give him a decent quarterback like Dak Prescott and an offense like that. You know, McCarthy had Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and they won a Super Bowl. So, you know, you give him some offensive pieces. Can he lead them in the right direction? You know, I don't mind that hire. I don't. These hires so far have been interesting. I'm interested to see what the Browns do. You know, because is it McDaniels or is it somebody else? They've got a lot of candidates there.
So we talked about McDaniels and, you know, is he going to be Cleveland's choice or is he not? And how does this impact Tom Brady's decision? Tom Brady, for those who don't know, and I think everybody in New England does.
Can't say we spent the whole show on Tom Brady, by the way.
No, he becomes a free agent on March 18th, okay? Mm-hmm. In fact, March 16th is when that legal tampering window opens where other teams can talk to him.
Yeah.
But March 18th is when you can officially sign with another NFL team. But his situation is very complicated here in terms of what the Patriots are going to do and what they want to do because of dead money on the cap.
Yep.
His latest contract has left $13.5 million in dead money. And here's how that works. If he signs with the Patriots, and they're the only team that he can sign with before March 18th, that $13.5 million could be split up over 2 years.
Prorated,
okay? Yep. So it would be $6.75 million this season and $6.75 million the next season. So let's, for example, just hypothetically, I'm throwing numbers out there. If he re-signs with the Patriots for $20 million a year over the next 2 years, the cap number would be $26.75 million this year, $26.75 million next year, okay? Just hypothetically speaking. If he signs March 18th or thereafter with the Patriots, that cap hit for this year becomes $33.5 million if he were to sign a $20 million contract.
Which I think it's going to be north of that,
okay,
too.
Well, right. That's the thing. By all accounts, everything we keep reading and hearing is he wants top dollar. So knowing that on top of what you have to pay him, you're going to have to either add $6.75 or $13.5 million to that. How does that impact Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft's decision on whether or not to re-sign Tom Brady? I think it's a great question. And, oh, by the way, just so you know, if he signs with another team after March 18th, that $13.5 million, that still goes on the Patriots
dead
cap.
Money.
Period, end of story. It gets charged to the Patriots salary cap in 2020 if he signs with another team. So that money, the Patriots are paying that somehow, some way, whether it's for 1 year this coming season or spread out over 2 years if he re-signs here before March 18th. And that's a factor because if he wants to be paid top dollar, let's say he wants to be paid $25, $30 million a year. Now, if he wants to be paid $30 million a year, that's a minimum of $36.75 million against the cap.
Yep.
I mean, he's 42 going on 43, okay? He's coming off of a season where he ended the year with two injuries that we know of, his right elbow and his foot, okay? I hate to say it, but these little nagging injuries, they happen to guys in their 40s, particularly athletes. And guess what? When you're in your 40s, they crop up a hell of a lot more frequently, and you recover less quickly from them. So how much of a factor is that in Bill Belichick's thinking? How much have his talents or skills eroded, or is it more what we talked about earlier? Lousy offensive line, a lot of injuries, no talent at wide receiver outside of Edelman who was hurt, no talent at the tight end position, not having James Devlin and Gronk to help in the running game. I don't know, but there's so many things that the Patriots have to consider. Look, when I look at these numbers and I consider everything, the whole picture, Brady's age, injuries, his production drop-off, what this team needs to do to get better offensively, the salary cap, it points towards not re-signing him. And I know that sounds crazy because I can't still picture him in another uniform besides the New England Patriots, but everything points toward him going elsewhere.
Yeah, I think if he gets to March 18th and he's not re-signed with the Patriots, I think it's a bad sign. If you are hoping that he comes back here, I think it's a bad sign because of the reasons that you just listed out, Scott. And to me, it's, you know, you read off the numbers. Tommy Curran wrote a great piece this week, you know, breaking down those numbers. And to me, he brought up a quote by Kraft. I believe it was 2017, 2016, around there, when they had signed Brady to a new deal at that point. And he made a comment like, well, you know, for us to be competitive, it's helpful for Tom to sign these deals, whatever, because it was a little less at the time. And, you know, he said, because, you know, teams have trouble, you know, competing when they're putting 15 to 20% of their salary cap into one player. And that comment came up and I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. And then, you know, Tom writes in his article that, you know, breaks down the numbers and says, if they sign him and it's after March 18th, and you're talking about a 38 point something million dollar cap hit, that's 20% of your cap. And that to me is like, well, how are you going to surround Brady? If you keep him and you want to surround him with more talent and you want to, you know, go through your whole shopping list because you have other items that you need to take care of and other players that you want to try to keep, then you better sign him before March 18th. Otherwise, you're putting a lot of the percentage. If you sign him before the 18th and they prorate that cap hit, whatever, I think it comes down to something like 15%, which is much, it's more manageable. Now, I think that 5% is of your salary cap is going to make a difference. So, and you have to keep in mind, too, you have a long list of free agents and key guys. You know, you're talking about Kyle Van Noy is going to go out on the open market and he's going to command dollar. I don't know if he's going to be back here. I really don't, because I think he's played well enough where some team's going to give him a multi-year deal that's lucrative that I think he's going to go elsewhere. It's sort of like a Trey Flowers situation. You know, a guy like Joe Tooney, who's been, you know, a good offensive lineman for you, second team all pro.
I'm going to stop you for a second. I think Van Noy loves it here, so I think there's a chance he's back.
Money talks.
I think there's a chance he stays here for less on a hometown discount. That's just my opinion.
Maybe, but that's
he
a guy.
He resurrected his career here. He was nothing
that's
in Detroit.
That's the point. If somebody throws a lucrative offer toward him, you know, does he take it?
Okay.
He may, you know, because of that reason. Like, yep. You can resurge all you want. You know, I know he's had success here, but again, it's like a Trey Flowers. You know, somebody throws big money at him, they say, see you later.
Yeah.
Joe Tooney is a guy that you may have to replace on your offensive line because I think some team's going to go out and sign him. You've already invested in Shaq Mason.
That's
in that
big
deal.
That's a big loss, by the way, if Tooney
goes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then there's other guys that are on that list, whether it's Devin McCourty, whether it's Jamie Collins, whether it's there's a lot of guys. So,
and by the way, you have a $4.5 million cap hit of dead money for Antonio Brown. Cap.
And that hurts. That hurts big time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that they need to get done. And so investing that kind of money in their quarterback, you know, whether it's Tom Brady or whether it's somebody else, there's a lot of money there. You're going to invest some of that money either way, whether it's the dead cap hit or, you know, whether it's into Tom Brady's new contract. But then you have to also consider Brady's probably, I think Brady, it's less about the actual money number, and I think it's more about if the Patriots came to him and offered him, say it wasn't $25 million for 1 year, say it was, I don't know, $18 million over, you know, 2 years, I think he'd take it because I think he wants the investment multi-years. If the Patriots gave him a multi-year investment, I think he'd take it.
Yeah,
I really do.
But you say that, they don't guarantee the multi-years. This is the NFL. We can say, hey, we'll sign you to a 3-year contract and cut you after year one.
Yeah.
It all depends how the money's structured.
Some sort of guarantee.
Right.
It's some sort of guarantee that they would invest in him for multiple years. I think that's what he wants.
I think the only way he comes back here is they sign him to a 3-year deal, which you may not see the whole duration of. In other words, we're going to sign you to a 3-year deal because we want to spread out the money here.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do here, even if it comes after March 18th, all right, so we have $13.5 million accelerated on this year's cap because we signed you after March 18th. So your salary this year is only going to be $10 million. Whatever. We just pick a number, okay? But your cap hit's going to be, you know, up in the mid-20s. I don't know.
But that's tough to sell to him too, because you know, you're gonna have to give him something decent because the cap hit to him doesn't mean anything.
I agree. The signing bonus is gonna have to be, but that gets spread out over 3 years too. That's what
sure.
I'm saying. That's why
The
more years they can add to a contract, the more they can spread out whatever money they give to him, whatever guaranteed money they give to him.
The point is, this is complicated. This is not just, does Tommy want to stay or do we want Tommy to leave? Like, it's not just that.
Well,
this is financial.
What's
here.
More complicated about it, beyond the finances, is you've got a serious question. When is the time to move on from Tom Brady?
Sure.
Because I think we all believe that Bill Belichick was ready to do that a couple of years ago with Jimmy Garoppolo when Brady went upstairs to Kraft and Kraft stepped in and said, no, we're keeping Tom, okay? So we're now a couple of years past that, and Brady's numbers this year and his performance were not good. Again, we understand there were extenuating circumstances, but I would suggest a lot of that is still on him, okay?
Yep.
I think that Bill Belichick and the Patriots have a very difficult decision to make here. I really do. Is it time to move on from Tom Brady, even if that means a bridge year or two? I think if they do make that decision to move on, I think the way it's going to play out is they're going to go out and sign a relatively cheap or affordable veteran quarterback, and They're going to go into camp probably with an open competition, but I think Belichick's mind would be, I want to give Stidham every chance he can to win the job and have this veteran guy be the backup. If I have to play the veteran, Andy Dalton, whoever that guy is, then I will. That's what I think will happen if they decide to move on from Brady.
And I also think, and Mark Daniels brought this up when he's been on the show, you know, the whole year the Patriots kept Cody Kessler around. I think that would be a guy that would factor into the competition somehow, some way. I still think they'd go out and sign another veteran. But, you know, that's a guy that was on the roster, and you were like, why are they giving all this time and investment into Cody Kessler? Why is that? That may be him preparing for the situation that, hey, he's been in the offense for a year. He's been around this thing.
Maybe. I think it was more a safeguard that your backup was an untested, unproven rookie. And, you know, if God forbid Brady gets hurt, do you really want to go to Stidham in the middle of the season? I think they
were okay with that, though. I think they made that decision when they cut Brian Hoyer. If they really weren't okay with that, I don't know if they would have done that. You know, and they kept Cody Kessler on the roster the entire year. To me, that was like they'd always make him inactive, but he took a spot on that 53-man roster when you had places where you probably could have put that roster spot somewhere, get another, I don't know, tight end receiver, something like that, and they kept him around. So I think there's something to it, at least. You know, I don't know what, but...
I mean, I think just as interesting is if Brady isn't going to be here next year, where is he going to be? Yesterday at Brown, I heard two people give two different answers. Somebody involved with the football program said they believe he's going to be in Miami next year with Brian Flores. Somebody else said, no, I believe Giselle's calling the shots here. He's going to be in Los Angeles on the Chargers.
I don't know if she likes Los Angeles, though. Who was it? Christian Fourier said it on this station. He said Giselle doesn't like L.A.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what he said. But
it's the second biggest market in the country behind New York City.
I would see New York would have felt like more of a threat, you know, with Giselle. But the Giants or the Jets aren't bringing in Tom Brady. They're just not. They got two.
Joe Judge and the Giants aren't going to bring him in?
With the young quarterback
Daniel
like
Jones?
That?
Probably not.
No, they're going to put Daniel Jones. Which, by the way, did you see Daniel Jones? Was that the roadie game?
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
His
brother plays for Davidson.
Brother, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
Would he join Gruden out in Las Vegas?
See, that's not a bad thought.
If McDaniels gets the Cleveland job, would you push Baker Mayfield aside for him?
No, you can't do that. No, it's young quarterbacks. You can't just push them aside for Tom Brady. Like,
if the Titans lose tonight to Baltimore, do you push Tannehill aside? Does Vrabel bring him in?
That one's more feasible. Because that's not like a first-round draft pick you invested all this time into him sort of thing. It's Tannehill, he was fine. He wasn't great at all. It was Derrick Henry won that game for them offensively.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, Tannehill didn't even have 100 yards passing.
Yes.
So that's a place where maybe, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe I haven't entertained the thought so much because, you know, I'm so fascinated to see how it plays out with the Patriots. That I just, it's like sort of compartmentalizing in my head, but it's going to be an interesting couple of months here with this.
You know, I think it was Tom Brady's father too who said, you know, it's not going to end good. Well, there's a reason for that. Things usually don't end good because if things were still good, they wouldn't end, right?
Yeah.
Usually when things end, they end because they're no longer good.
This is the time, too, where we always talk about how Bill Belichick moves on from a player a year early rather than a year later. And I thought a couple years ago, you know, in the Garoppolo situation, I felt like that might have been the time that you move on from Brady. It might be a year early, whatever.
Obviously, that was the perfect succession plan. That was that was Joe Montana to Steve Young. That was Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots don't have that dynamic right now. And all due respect to the unproven Jared Stidham, they don't have that. They had it with that.
Now, they traded it for another Super Bowl and two more appearances. So you can't fault them too much for that decision because you got something out of it. But now here's the future. Now here we are, and this is, you know, this is sort of the, not the downside, but, you know, just the consequences of it, you know, is, you know, what's your plan here going forward? You don't know.
All right, we got full phone lines. We'll get to your phone calls right on the other side of this break. 401-737-1287, the phone number. If you can't get through on the phones, you can send us your text at 37937. You're listening to Kordishian Coit on 103.7.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.